And when the woman had found the one lost coin, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Dear saints, there was a church on Little Texas Road full of sinners. But those sinners were eager to hear the Lord's word. They were all drawing near to hear Jesus. He has a way of drawing the broken and the hurt and the guilty to himself. They knew, most of the time they knew, that he didn't draw them to accept them in their sin and to say it's okay, but to help them confess it, to proclaim his peace, his absolution, his forgiveness, and to assure them that he is eager to help them rid themselves of that sin. Now, this proverbial church, wherever that is, on Little Texas Road, 204 to be exact, was full of all kinds of sinners. Some struggled with this, and others struggled with that. And most were comfortable with the truth that Jesus received sinners and he ate with them. They were comfortable with that, but they all alike, in their own ways, were a little uncomfortable, beginning with the pastor, going all through the leadership, all through the ones that have been here since they were 2 and now they're 92, all the way down to the 6-month-old. They were all a little uncomfortable that there was just this general label of sinner. That's too general. They were all a little uncomfortable that when they were called to rejoice, they were called to rejoice together, as if something bound them, because there were so many differences among them. You see, many would say Jesus can receive them all he wants. And it's bad enough that he keeps receiving them, even though they're not getting any better. They keep getting lost. But to lump me in with that group, that's too much. There are some mean people there with bad mouths who have committed blatant adultery, are bad parents, they're bad tithers, and they are mostly ignorant of God's word. Others would say, there's some very cliquey people there. They're full of gossip and judgment. Don't lump me in with them. Rejoice with them together. While still others would continue in their pride of life as they sat here and they believed you sat down there. Dear saints, Jesus tells 3 parables about something that's lost. The first is a sheep, and the second is a coin, and the third is perhaps the most famous one. It is the lost son. The prodigal son, the one who was dead and is now alive, the one who was lost and is now found, the one that we sing Amazing Grace about. And it all begins with this thought right here, that the Pharisees grumbled. They grumbled over this wonderful Christian truth. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. Grumbled over that. We rejoice over that. And they grumbled over that. But we grumble over it too. You see, it's important to repeat that Jesus never receives you to confirm you in your sin. It is never okay to think that your sin is okay. You need to learn more of the Bible. You need to be more interested in church in Bible study and in prayer. You need to be more interested in receiving the Holy Sacrament and hearing more about what it's about and meditating it all throughout the week, what it is that you are going to receive when you say, Lord, may this body and this blood be for my soul the highest good. You need to be more interested in this. You need to be more interested in the things of heaven and in the things of hell. You need to stop the public sins that you're immersed in. The adultery, the hatred of others, the resentment, the speaking ill against that person or those persons that are a favorite target of your tongue. You need to stop those things that seem to show that you have an open disregard for God and His Word and His commandments and His gifts, in which He protects the gifts of sex and life and reputation. But maybe that isn't you. Maybe your sin is buried and it's hidden and it's a little less than public. And there's some good to that. There really is. The things that you keep to yourself, if they start out with a thought and you keep them to a thought, keep doing that. If you're keeping it to a desire and it's not spilling forth in an action or spilling forth with some words, keep suppressing them. That's a good thing. People are hurt less with the sins of thought and the sins and desires of the heart than they are the sins of word and of deed. But there is an amazing, amazing danger that you bury it so well, that you hide it so well, that you begin to think that it's not even there. And you also begin to think that God cannot find it. So today, your Lord lights the lamp of His Word, and He dives into your heart. He searches deep within you. And He's shining the brightness of His holiness and His commands, saying, love me and love your neighbor as yourself. And He goes deep within your heart and He finds. What does He find? Do you know what He finds? You know a little bit about what He finds. He knows a lot more about what He finds. But He finds things like lust and resentment and delighting and holding grudges, and He finds laziness, and He finds pride in comparing yourself with others, and He finds a life that is full of excuses. Yes, I would, but I would really love to, but you see, I'm not quite ready for that. Please have me excused. And when He lights the lamp of His Word and He dives into your heart, that heart that He has forgiven, that heart that He has absolved, that heart in which He declares to you that the Son of God took on human heart so that He might declare you that He is at peace with you, that heart that He has worked on, oh, so many years, so many times that you have heard the Lord's Word, He is looking for fruit. Fruit of love and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. And when He looks for fruit, that heart that He has worked on so many times, how many times does He think all that work for nothing? This man receives sinners and He eats with them. Do you rejoice with this? Are you going to allow yourself to be lumped in that category? Are you a sinner? Dear saints, when your Jesus searches deep within your heart, does He find it completely clean? Do you rejoice over the fact that Christ has come to receive you just as you are today, to receive you just as you are, but then when He receives you, He sends you away different, changed, renewed, cleansed. Your heart is not the same. That heart that is full of worry, He declares His peace. the heart that is clinging to so many other things, he is declaring to you, I alone am your God. You will only find peace and satisfaction in me alone. Do you allow yourself to be a lost sheep that is in danger of starvation, that's in danger of wolf without the shepherd, seeking and finding and caring and rejoicing? Do you allow yourself to be the lost coin? Then rejoice over the fact that this man receives sinners, receives you, rejoices over you with the angels. You see, the angels know a little something about those who have strayed far from God and then were confirmed in their sin. Those were the fallen angels. The head is Satan. They know the fate. And so they rejoice when one who is fallen is received back, is found back, is brought back, is changed, is renewed, is strengthened. They recognize that the strong shoulders that carry the sheep back, that carry you back over and over and over again, are the very shoulders that bore the cross. They recognize that your sins are tossed into the sea, that they are never knit. They are never to be seen. They are never meant to be felt. They are never meant to be heard by your Father. And your Father declares to you that they are never meant to be felt or heard or seen in your conscience. The Father thinks more highly of you than you think of yourself. Your sins are tossed into the sea. Jesus has wrapped his arms around them, and he has dove in, and he has sunk all the way to the bottom under the heavy weight of God's wrath that you deserve. They stay there, but Jesus lives. Your sins are no longer on you. Jesus has taken them, and he has drowned with them. He has died, and you, dear saints, don't have them. And Jesus is risen from the dead. He comes back to the top, and he declares to you, peace be with you. In your worry, peace be with you. In your lust, peace be with you. In your sin, Jesus receives sinners. And so, in that church, that one on Little Texas Road, they all hear that the Father delights in them, that he's not ashamed of them, that he turns and he looks at them, that he rejoices over them, that he is not angry at them because he has passed over their sin. Condemnation has passed over them. He receives sinners and he eats with them. And in that church on Little Texas Road, he invites all the hearers to cast their anxieties upon him. What a beautiful phrase. Cast their anxieties upon him. Those anxieties, the big ones, the little ones, the family conflicts, the friend conflicts, the problems at work. Cast your anxieties upon him. The sins that you struggle with, the sin that keeps popping up, the sin that surprised you. Cast your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. The worry that you have, cast your anxieties upon him. The thoughts that you have that God will not provide for you, cast your anxieties upon him. The thought that you have that Jesus doesn't love your family as much as you do, cast your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. And he invites you for your own good and for the good of others to be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour him. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the entire world. And when you cast your anxieties upon him, he declares to you that God himself is for you, and that he himself will restore and confirm and strengthen and establish you firm in the faith till you die. So, dear saints, on Little Texas Road, rejoice. Jesus receives sinners. And then look around and rejoice that Jesus receives them too. And then look deep within your heart and rejoice that Jesus receives you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.